GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast, looking back on a rip-roaring weekend of hurling. We now have our finalists in Cork and Clare for 2024. Jackie Tyrrell and Shane McGrath join myself and Rory to look back on it all. And Shane, it just feels, I don't know, we were just kind of chatting off air, like maybe there's a freshness about it. For everything that Limerick have brought to the table over the last number of years, and they've been absolutely incredible. Champions. Yeah. I think to think that we're going to have new champions this year is brilliant, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose Limerick people won't be happy, but I suppose hurling needed it, I think. It's just the nature of any sport. One team is dominating no matter what it is. Everyone else just wants to see them bet. No more so than the team Jackie was on. No more so than the Limerick team. No more so the Dublin footballers in GAA terms, or even Cork ladies footballers. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. People wanted to see something different, and that's what you're going to get now. You're going to get something different. You're going to get two new sets of colours in an All-Ireland final that, you know, haven't been there for a while. And, you know, even things like Up for the Match, Jackie, I'm sure will be unreal crack, you know, the crowd you'll have at it, you know, the guests you'll have on, you know, some unique characters that maybe we haven't seen for a while. Things like that. The scramble for tickets will be unreal, as we spoke about there off air as well. So, look, that's what it is. It's just something different. It's going to be unique. The football final will be, you know, without Dublin in it. And maybe if Kerry don't get there as well. So, yeah, look, I think for the majority of the country, they're happy enough. It's going to be Cork and Clare. I don't think anybody could have foreseen it. I think anyone that said it was going to be a Cork Clare final, I think they're lying. In my opinion, I genuinely thought it was going to be a Limerick Kilkenny final, just the way it worked out. It's Cork and Clare, and yeah, sure. Look, what a team Limerick have been, and look, I just kind of sent out a tweet because I actually got the train out from Croke Park to Maynooth yesterday just to try and avoid some of the traffic, lads. But I don't know what it was. It just, like, there was a crowd from All Ireland final, but normally in an All-Ireland final, maybe you have 10 or 15%, they're all going their own way home. A lot of people are going up to the north of Ireland, and a lot of people are going maybe over towards the west to get home. But 90 or 95% of the people who are at the match were going down that road, and I'd never seen the traffic like it, lads. But what I'm getting at is, one, I tried to avoid some of it. One couple of people on the train, all Limerick fans, just what they were saying about the Limerick team, I just thought,
what?
I just like going, I can't actually get into a row with someone from Limerick over the Limerick boys. And to be fair now, the majority of people there were just kind of telling him, just, you know, you're totally wrong there now, you know, just very short memory, stuff like that. But I think over 95% of the genuine hurling fans, they know what Limerick have given them. And again, I would reference Jackie's team as well, what they gave them, like, as well. Like, you know, there's a reason it's never been done five in a row. It's a very, very hard thing to do. But yeah, look, as a spectacle, as an occasion, Jays was unbelievable to be there yesterday. To be down at Park Cueve earlier in the year, I didn't think it'd be surpassed. But I just thought maybe yesterday probably did surpass it with the performances we got, what was on the line and everything. So, yeah, look, it'll be a great 2 weeks for both counties now, Jackie.
Yeah. Jackie, are you kind of glad that they didn't do the five in a row?
I'm not, because
I don't think we'll ever see five in a row being done. And to be able to witness that, yeah, of course, there's a kind of a, I won't say a rivalry, but there'll be that comparison. It would have been lovely to see someone doing, like, I was there when the Dubs did the football, but look, yeah, football to me now, I could take it or leave it. But to see a hurling team to do five in a row, God, I don't know if it'll ever be done again. So to be, maybe possibly witness that, that might have been something special that you could tell your kids about in years to come, you know. So, but Shane is right. It's a nature sport. When you win one All-Ireland, people begin to hate you. When you win two, they really hate you. When you're getting to three and four, they're just sick of looking at you. So, and that's no blight at Limerick. It was the same with us. It was the same with the Dubs. You just get sick of looking at them, sick of winning, and you want someone else to come in. But, God, you have to take your hat off to even the way they came off the field, the way they clapped off their fans, the way John Kiely.
I thought they were magnificent, Jackie.
Oh, my God. The first time to witness defeat, the last thing that would even come into your mind would be that. But in fairness, like they lost like true champions. They lost with respect. They lost with dignity, and even all the commentary afterwards. So the accolade should continue to be thrown at this Limerick team because they're outstanding. But you know, it's Cork and Clare's weekend. It really is, and it was what a weekend.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Rory, the Cork verdict. I mean, yeah. Like I was there, you were there. That moment when After All comes on over the speakers, this eruption of emotion of Cork people who have followed this team around all year in more hope than anticipation of being in an All-Ireland final. But look where they are now. It's been incredible, hasn't it?
Oh, Jackie, like, I went to my first All-Ireland final in 1986. It was such an adventure to come up to Dublin back then. I was there in 87, 88 for football finals. We lost. And I was there in 1990 for both finals. We won the Dublin. And I've been to Croke Park many times following Cork and supporting Cork. And mostly finals that have been the good days and plenty of bad ones. But nothing will ever come close to just the sense of emotion, the game, the occasion, the support, both sides. Limerick had fantastic support as well. It was just one of the most amazing days that I've ever experienced following Gaelic games. It was just incredible. I had my small fella with me, and to say what he witnessed from his dad and the full-time whistle probably frightened him a small bit. is a mild understatement. But the good news is, hang on, I'll show you, right? I'll show you. Just a moment, right? The good news is he asked for one of these, right?
Excellent.
And it's just after arriving in the post today, so we'll be going to the final fully.
The Jays are living in Dublin now. If I ordered that, I wouldn't be here till next
We'll have it for next year's All-Ireland, Shane.
Yeah, it was an amazing. It was both teams just came with everything. I like the game itself. There was just so many things happened. It's almost impossible to get into too much detail. It was just incredible. Like to think that they didn't score in the final 10 minutes and still got over the line by 2 points. Patrick Collins for me, and I know the lads gave it to Brian Hayes, and that was absolutely merited. I've no query or no question or qualm about it, but I thought Patrick Collins was my man of the match. I would have privately, with some of my friends, been critical about Patrick, particularly after the Clare match. I thought one of the goals was a bit soft. He was like the belt of that ball from Aaron Gillan. I can guarantee you he's waking up today with a fine bruise. The save from Garrod Hegarty late on, that moment actually, in and around the 46th, 47th minute, when they save and the little hook by Kieran Joyce to get in under Gallant's hurley when he tried to pull on the ball on the ground and the ball to spurt out over to the left wing and Decky Dalton to stick it over the bar from inside his own half. I mean, there was a roar went up there. It was just incredible. Like there was just so many things happened. You were worried going into the game, would it live up to the hype? Would it maybe live up to the game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh earlier in the summer? I think as Shane said, and I agree, it did all that and more. It was just incredible. It was a pleasure and a privilege to be there.
Do you know why it did
that's
more,
the
Rory?
Feeling. Yeah, go Jackie. Yeah.
Do you know why it did more? The only thing that was missing out Páirc Uí Chaoimh was defending. And we got it yesterday in spades. Yeah. Like you think of that Joyce, that was the last. That
was JJ Delaney on Shamey Cal, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like you think of Patrick Collins throwing himself at the ball. You think of Rob Downey, how he just shut down the centre. Owen Downey, outstanding. And Limerick defend really, really well. But I felt Páirc Uí Chaoimh, it was outstanding and all that, but God, there was some unbelievable defending. Like Aaron Gillan got 5 points, but Sean, you don't know, did a decent enough old job too as well. I thought there was an element of physicality in defending that wasn't in Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Do you know what? 99 shots though, Shane. Like even at the rate of scores, and some of the shot taking was poor at times actually as well, but just for the levels that both teams got to, you know, Jackie's right, the defending that was on show to be able to put them off, but the fact that both teams were able to get attacking at that level was just, I didn't even think we were going to get that because of the pressure that was at stake, but it just delivered in so many ways.
Yeah, it did, yeah. And you could go through all the numbers and everything, but you don't want to bore people with numbers either. But, like, I mean, one thing that kind of stood out for me was normally the Limerick third quarter is where they dominate. Mm. And yesterday it was 13 scores to 5 in favour of Cork. Like, I genuinely thought, Jackie, from being there and doing the radio, I turned around to Marty and Limerick, you know, are going in at halftime and they're 2 points up after Cork, what felt like they had the most of the hurling done, but Limerick are still going in 2 points up. And I thought, Cork will be delighted now, get me in 2 points up, still have to kind of click into gear.
Second half team.
I really thought, this is it now, this is where they're going to turn it on, this is where they've done it time and time again. But for Cork to outscore them 13-5, and then for Limerick to outscore Cork 8-4 in the final quarter, like, I heard a great quote today, Cork had to be 10 points a better team to win by two.
Yeah,
that was a good one, like, to say that the probably, like, overall, if there was no scoreboard there, you might think Cork are well ahead here. And, like, that's what it is like. And Cork had performances all over the field. I'd say average of 8 or 9 out of 10. Kieran Joyce, what he did in Garrod Hegarty. You talk about Patrick Collins. I thought Darragh Fitzgibbon was nearly man of the match. Maybe that's just me as a midfielder for what he's done. He scored 8 points from play in 2 games against Limerick. It's some clipping. Very few lads have done it off Will O'Donoghue or Keane Lynch or Kyle O'Neill or these guys who were there. And obviously all the forwards were immense. But, like, we're here, like, Cork were that good. Limerick were way below par as what they could be. But that's a credit to Cork and what they did. They didn't let them hurt. They didn't hit it down on top of Kyle Hayes. They kept it route one on top of Brian Hayes for 3 or 4 puckouts in a row in the second half. He's either caught it or won breaks off him. So as Tomás O'Shea said before, the hammer. They went after Kyle. Mm-hmm. They went after Kyle Hayes, and that they didn't go near him. And I suppose kind of like tactically they got it so right. Maybe Kyle Hayes went into 16 and he started picking up a lot of ball, as everyone's seen. But like we can just keep talking. Like, Cork were that good, and yet an Aidan O'Connor wide and a poor Shane O'Brien wide away from the thing going to extra time. And who knows after that? But look, ifs and buts. But that's just like, that's why people, like real hurling people, aren't by any ways or means writing off Limerick. They'll be back again.
Oh, yeah.
They will be contenders again very, very soon, because below par yesterday, one of Cork's best overall group performances, I think, in a long, long time in Croke Park. And still just about got it over the line. And just all the furore, lads, of, you know, Hoggy coming out, thinking he was taking the free. Next thing, his number goes up on the board. Tried to clarify with friends who are officials today, and they said, as soon as the number goes up, you have to go off.
You have to go.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about it at the time, so he goes off. Even the sideline at the, you know, Mark Coleman's so good at sidelines. I thought he's going to put this either wide or he's going to try to put it at the far side. Went down the line, tried to take a chance to get it in the corner and Limerick win the ball, you know what I mean? So it's, look, I just honestly feel with you don't want to look, you've nothing. Mm. And, you know, they had a performance, they had a bit of luck as well. And Limerick, they're not going to wait, or are they?
They're not, but you know, though, the one thing is, I do wonder, and Jackie, your team would have been similar. When you keep the band together, and there was an element to this with the Dubs as well, where you go for something. And as much as you say, we're not chasing 5 in a row, we're doing it year by year. At some point, the 5 in a row does become the thing. And then when you don't achieve it, do you suddenly become more reflective and go, okay, now is the time where, you know, John Kiley even said afterwards, maybe some of these lads, we won't see them again. And if we don't, they owe nothing to Limerick because of what they've given them over the years. But there is an element of, yes, they'll be back, but will it be the same iteration of Limerick that we've seen this year?
Yeah, well, the key part is that, look, when they do come back, they need to be a little different. And what does that different look like? Well, you would like to think that the younger guys now, you need a sprinkling of younger. I remember in 2011 when we came back, Paul Murphy came into the team, Colin Fenley came into the team. There was a few other guys brought into the panel, and it just gave it that bit of freshness. But you know, the loss of 10 gave us huge hunger for 11. So mm-hmm. would the losing of yesterday drive this Limerick team on? I would think so. I think they're very ambitious. I think if you look at the age profile, it's not that young or not that old. So there's a lot there to go back with. I think that the key piece will be Paul Kinnerk and John Kiley. Will they be there? And I thought some of the words were interesting that John Kiley used in his interview. I felt he would be going back when I heard the interview. I said, God, I don't know. So I think that's the key piece for them. John Kiley and Paul Kinnerk, are they going to stay there? and then what they do with these young lads and how they bring them in. Because now is the time to bring Shane O'Brien in. Now is the time maybe Adam English to come through. Maybe Fergal O'Connor in the defence. Two or three will give them a bit of freshness and a bit of renewed vigour for next year. But it is. But I remember when we lost in 10, we couldn't wait for 11 to come around. We were counting down the days. And when it came around, we were ready, but we were fresh and we had kind of a new look team.
And we've seen that a few times, Jackie, in history. When Kerry were on their famous run, 78, 9, 80, 81, and then obviously losing in 82, they lost to Cork in 83. But then they came back and gulped down another treble in 84, 5 and 6. We saw it even with Dublin just most recently when they lost. They, you know, like teams will, I suppose, reset, refocus. There might be a couple of changes in personnel, but I think the key one really is the figurehead. Yeah. And I think it's important that he stays on. Now, I heard some rumours that he might be interested in a political run. There's an election coming up. Who knows? You know, there'd be a lot of... He'd be certainly a very popular figure, I'd imagine. I'd imagine if he ran for the Dáil, he'd probably get about 25,000 first preference votes. So there wouldn't be any problems with quotas if that's what he was interested in going after. But you just wouldn't know. He's given a lot. This team have given so much. I think that's why yesterday was so emotional in a lot of ways for Cork, because we got the best of Limerick. They went down fighting. They played like champions. So to win with all of that, I think makes it so sweet. And to, I suppose, look, the problem from Cork's perspective is now having gone out and beaten them twice in the 1 year.
Yeah. They're still nowhere. And do you know what? I was going to say that to you, Shane. The maddest thing is everyone's talking about, oh, Cork. You nearly forget the Clare one at the weekend as well, the way things are going. And I say that as a Cork person, because having beaten Limerick twice, Rory's absolutely right. They could still go out and lose to Clare and still be in the same position where they were, where it's nearly 20 years without an All-Ireland. And I think that would be the biggest kick in the teeth of all.
Yeah, Dalo was behind me yesterday. I turned around. He was licking the hands. It was all about Cork. He said the drive for five is on now for Clare. And have to laugh at it. But that's it. Cork will be favourites, like Jackie, but sure, they'll be deserved favourites for their performance after giving in the semi-final. Whereas, I suppose Clare gave a really good second half performance, albeit against a very, very poor second half performance for Kilkenny. So it's hard to know really where are they really, really at. Like, you know, Cork will take great confidence from this. Clare will take great confidence from how they finished the game and how they responded compared to last year when Kilkenny got the goal after the Clare mistake. Kenny went on and, you know, they got the job done with a brilliant save from Owen Murphy. Whereas this year, after Kilkenny got the goal, Clare, it was nice to kick up the arse they needed, Jackie, really. Like when Billy Ryan got that second goal, and they really drove it on then. And their leaders, while they have such high standards, like everyone was saying, oh, how quite Garrod Hegarty was, but still he got on a lot of ball and was involved in a lot of good things. And compare that to even Tony Kelly, was quite, very quiet in the first half, but still popped up with two scores, you know, was involved in assisting for another 2 points as well. So when the lead was most, their leaders were there as well. But it will be, most of the talk will be about Cork. Cork will be favourites to win the All-Ireland. And I suppose, will it suit Clare? Yeah, maybe it will, maybe it won't. There won't be overwhelming favourites, Jackie, like, but Clare lads, I think, 2 weeks now to kind of figure out what team they're going to go with. You know, Do you stick with the lads who finished the game? Do you keep Ryan Taylor in reserve? What are you going to do there with Ian Galvin? Is he an impact sub now? Or these kind of questions for Brian Lohan. Whereas I think Pat Ryan fully knows who the 15 are going to be. Like they're going to be the 15 who started the game yesterday. Barron, something crops up and Shane Kingston will come on as an impact. Robbie O'Flynn will come on and try and have an impact. Ethan Toomey will come on and try and have an impact. So he knows what his team's going to be. And maybe Brian Lohan, maybe he knows in his heart of hearts what his team is going to be. But I think the big one for me with Clare is, do you start Ryan Taylor? Do you go at this now and just really go with your best 15? Because for me, with under best 15, Ryan Taylor starts. Just with everything that's done. I know he was even talking to Clare as that he probably was right to play the extra game, but they held him back, Jackie. And just felt if you could just hold him off for another while, but you could see the energy he brought to the thing. So look, I suppose that'll be one question that pops up over the next couple of weeks. Do you start Ryan Taylor or not? For me personally, I would start him. I think he's got his kind of blowout now. He's got his feel for it again. He's got his confidence. He knows he's in good form. I'd be saying to him, you're going to start Taylor in the final, because if there's one place Clare will need to go after Cork, it's their midfield. And with Dara Fitzgibbon in Hurler of the Year form, you have to try and figure a way how to shut him down.
One thing on Garrod as well, Garrod Hegarty. The lads picked up on it. I think Joe Canning picked up on it. Watched the game on TV this morning, and that could have been a significant enough hand injury that he had just be, it happened in the warm-up.
Yeah, they were, having a game at backs forwards.
We might not know, but he could have broken a finger there, or like there was definitely, he was getting a lot of treatment. He went down and played, and the very first ball that went into him, he spilled, and he's normally rock solid under any kind of a ball. And I'm going, you just wouldn't know how much he played through the pain barrier yesterday. And I suppose we'll never know, but it was just something that I thought was another interesting subplot among so many.
Yeah, it was interesting. He definitely was getting a lot of treatment. You're right. Can I ask you about the Taylor one, Jackie, that Shane raises? Because I do think that's interesting. I heard Brian Lowen saying afterwards that in their training games they've been having, that he's been the standout player over the last couple of weeks, and he has been brilliant for them. So if that's the case, it's a no-brainer then. Surely he has to play him, because it's a one shot or else it's over.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I would go the other way. I'd hold him off, but I'd bring him on earlier, and I'd be telling him that. I'd be saying, look, Ryan, 25, 30 minutes ago, we were going to need you and we're going to turn to you. And I'd roll the dice with Cotton Malone and David Fitzgerald. I feel with Cotton Malone, they're going to need him and they need his legs. And he does a lot of donkey work. He hadn't the greatest games the weekend. And I always think that's a good way to go into a game. You know, his mindset, his mentality, he'll be a little angry with himself. And I would like to tap into that. But you're not going to get that same bounce out of Ryan Taylor for 70 minutes. You have to remember, this guy, he's been out for 12 months. And in fairness, he did come back and hit the ground running. But the game had become a bit disjointed at that stage. Keane Kenny had covered a lot of ground at that stage. And they probably reacted too slow, Kilkenny, and getting Conor Fody in there to combat him. So I would be slow to play him. I'd hold him in reserve. I'd make sure, and there's no doubt that he knows he's coming in for 20, 25 minutes and to empty the tank. And I'd be telling Cotton Malone, you have 40 minutes. 40 minutes to go, toe-to-toe with Dara Fitzgibbon. Follow him everywhere. Bury him when you get a chance. And let's bring our finisher Ryan Taylor in, and let's see it out from there. Because the game is now, you need your finishers coming in. You need your guys coming in and contributing. You see the effect he had the weekend. And then you see the other side where Walter didn't really have a huge impact from a Kilkenny point of view. It's as important to have your finishers, a strong finishing core group of lads to push you over the line.
Mm. You said about Kilkenny not adjusting to it. It's very un-Kilkenny-like what happened at the weekend. Like, I've never seen their shot selection so poor. I've never seen them missing so many frees, like Don Logue outlined on the Sunday game last night. I've never seen a line wait so long to make changes. It just seemed there was something off about Kilkenny. So what was it?
Well, I suppose for 35, 40 minutes, they were fairly honest. They just missed a few opportunities in the first half, and instead of going in 5 points up, it should have minimum 8 and maybe even 10. And the Kilkenny team that we know would definitely be 8 or 9 up. So that was the first piece of it. The second piece of it, we just lost our way completely in the second half. And that happens in the games, and you lose the momentum, and it's very hard to get back. But it's very unlike some of Kilkenny's big names in the forwards. You think of Adrian Mullen being so poor. John Donnelly, although he clipped 2 points, was relatively anonymous. He normally gets a few turnovers, creates a few scores. TJ, he was probably our best forward, but still wasn't hugely influential. And Owen Coley just got no joy out of Adam Hogan outside of the goal. So there's your four big main guys up front. Not alone could we not get a score, we couldn't win ball up there. And when Clare took over, we had no answer. And look, we were probably slow to do things on the sideline. You know, the Conor Fody thing I alluded to. Walter coming on, maybe was it that the I would have brought him on the other side. I just felt David McInerney was just outstanding at that stage, and we just weren't going to get any joy out of him. And maybe a Dickie Dalton approach there, where you bring someone to the sideline and you just puck at the other side. I would probably put Walter the other side on Dermot Ryan. So it was disappointing. The last 20 minutes, our shooting, our lack of scores, you know, and it just, from being in such a strong position in the first half to somehow lose that game, you kind of scratch your head going, how did we lose it? You know, even the way, you know, at the back structurally, we've never seen Hugh Lawler in positions like that before. Out one wing, corner back, the other corner. Like, Hugh is our full back and should always be full back. And I thought Clare exploited that, brought him to positions that he's not really familiar. Like, at one stage, he was out left half back. So I think we got a little disjointed at the back as well as the problem at the forwards. And look, Ryan Taylor turned the game when he came on, no doubt about it. We didn't get a real bounce out of our bench. They got a huge bounce out of him. His link play, his level of energy, how he just carried the ball. That's really, I thought that was a huge turning point, and we didn't really manage that well.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, Shane, it just seemed to me like Clare found a way when Kilkenny, it was there for them. It was, I don't know, when they woke up, I'd say they must have been thinking, how did we not win that game?
Yeah, it's just there was two different Kilkennys, like the first half and the second half, as Jackie said. You know, a couple of great saves by Eva Quilligan.
Who, by the way, I have to say, much like what Rory said about Patrick Collins, much vilified, but what a performance by him.
A great
Saturday.
Performance, yeah. You know, and he has a lot of critics, like, even in his own county, like, you know what I mean? I mean, even in the second half, I suppose, that one just came in, you know, and flew in. He just miscued the touch and he got turned over and Billy Ryan picks it up, buries in the net. And if they were to lose, he would have been one of the first guys that would have gone to. But like his puck-out selection, obviously those saves in the first half. But his general play, he was probably as confident as I've seen him play for Clare in Croke Park in regards that when the ball was at the Hogan stand side, he was roaring for it. He wanted it. Like he was coming out past the 14, 21. He wanted the ball across the field. And if goals is a hard place to play, I know myself, lads, I'm back playing goals myself, Junior A hurling in our tip. It's hard going, right?
So if pressures, like, yeah.
It's serious, no, serious pressure on you, like, you know, full back line could have a combined age of 160.
What's the puck out, what's the puck out strategy, Shane?
Puck out strategy is very simple. You find the best ball that will go the furthest distance and you take
you let fly
outside the small square and hope the umpires won't pull you on it. So that's kind of the puck out strategy. Something like what Patrick Collins is doing for most of the second half. But I think that's the confidence he was playing with there, Jackie. It can be a very, very lonely place for lads at inter-county level. And when you see a goalie and he wants that cross-field ball, you know he's playing with confidence, and he did. But like Clare, I don't think much needed to be said at halftime. There was a few things obviously said, but they have a good few leaders in that dressing room, no more so than their manager. But like surely a few of them just stood up and said, Jesus Christ, lads, what was that? Like, what was that first half? You could see Dalo beside you, Jackie, in the studio there. He was fit to burst, like, and I get that, like, because, like, everything that has went on with him, like, to lose the three Munster finals, you know, you're coming up potentially going to lose three again in a row in the same fixture in an All-Ireland semi-final, and you just think, what motivation did you actually need, like, to hurl here in the first half? And it just didn't happen. So I think it was what had to be said was probably said by one or two people, and that was it. And it was just like, you got what you got out of him then in the second half. There was a bit of luck involved as well. Of course, there was a few breaks went their way, but their leader stood up when the need was most. Dave McInerney had his best game of the year, of maybe the last 3-4 years. You know, he really was outstanding. And the younger guys came to the fore as well for them. And it's gas to think, like, the likes of Adam Hogan there, like, what was he? Maybe 9 or 10 years of age, the last time Clare got to an All-Ireland final 11 years ago. Here he is now, and puts in a great display and one of the best forwards in the country. And they just stood up when the need was most, Jack. And I think that's what was most pleasing for Brian Lohan was he knew the performance was there. He knew the first half was absolute dirt from him. There's no point in saying anything else. And they came and they went at it. And yeah, look, they were by far the better team in the second half. And look, the crack will be unreal now for the next couple of weeks. We're not a million miles away from Killaloo here, like, so, and it'll be sewing it into us that they have as many All-Irelands won as over the last 20 or 30 years or so. So it'll be an interesting few weeks if they can win this one. Cork are kind of far enough away from where we are here, but we're listening to Limerick on one side for the last while, and now we're probably maybe going to have to listen to Clare on the other side. So look,
we're well protected, Jen. We're well protected over this. Yeah,
he built a wall.
Stop. It is going to be great though, Rory, isn't it? Yeah. Because like, I do think, you know, even watching Dalo in the studio sitting beside you, Jackie, you know, like he was nearly fit to burst through the suit. Like, you know, I think what Clare are going to bring to this, the energy that it's going to take over the next 2 weeks, because like, let's not forget, they've already won the league as well this year, Rory. Like, this is not a team that are not coming with confidence. They finally got it over the line against Kilkenny. I think they're going to bring everything to an All-Ireland final, and we are all going to be so grateful for it.
Yeah, I think, look, on the colour and the crack and all of that, it's two support bases that generally mix really well. There's always great fun. things like Up for the Match will be great crack. I think the ticket hunt is going to be absolutely incredible.
I hope you have the phone on silent for the week now. I'm under pressure.
Already today now, like, and four people, two of whom I wouldn't talk to from one end of the day to the next. And next thing, all of a sudden, you know, I'm just looking for a handy four. I was almost fit.
Lore Hogan,
is it? Do you want the soft seats and that? Yeah. You know, crazy stuff. But all of that is just going to feed into it. And what I like, look, the thing I love most about the way Pat Ryan approaches all of it is he embraces it. Like, there's a brashness and people can call it arrogant. I would go that far. But there is a confidence about Cork, and there's a sort of a brash and a flash Harry kind of a nature to the way we approach things, I suppose. And we do tend to lose the run of ourselves. But he's embracing all of that because that's part of who Cork are. That's part of your identity. So just bring it on. I was delighted to see him last night say, look, we'll leave him enjoy themselves tonight. Exactly. It's an amateur sport. The lads should be allowed to go and enjoy themselves. Like, if you think back to the 2013 drawn final, as far as I remember, after that final, the Clare lads were all spot drawn in Copperface Jacks that night. The Cork lads all went on the bus and went back down to Cork. Now, did that make a big difference in the end result? Probably not. But it showed the difference in approach, relaxing players into it. And obviously, Clare got their reward.
Rory, do you honestly think that David Fitzgerald said to him, he can all go to Coppers?
They were in there.
Myself and Jackie had him at his manager in college in January and February, and we weren't allowed to go to the iPad in January or February.
You know, there's a difference between not allowed going and going.
I used to work in the Icon, and they'd say, if you see them coming in, send them back out the door.
We used to often ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
That's the key. But I do think it's going to be it would be great fun. There'll be great crack. There's a novelty aspect to it that I think is fantastic. That is a real freshness from a hurling perspective, and that'll obviously feed into the frenzy. You would hope that both sets of both counties get a good chunk of tickets and that demand is sated in somewhat. But I mean, look, it's just something to just really savor and look forward to. You've 2 weeks now just to soak it all in what a final.
Yeah, it is. Can I finish off then, lads, on your own experiences of what this 2 week period is like? Like, so Shane, even in the run up to it, particularly when you were captain of Tip as well, what it is like being a Tipperary captain around the place when people are pulling and dragging out of you. And then, like, take in the run up to a 2010 final when there's so much talk about a team when you were playing against the likes of a Kilkenny. How do you treat these 2 weeks? Because they're unlike any other time in your life.
Build up was longer for us, Jackie, is nearly 4 weeks, like, to be honest. So you had a bit longer, you maybe had a few down days after the semi-final or whatever, or a few up days, whatever you want to look at it, really, depending on where you went. And
a few good days.
Yeah.
we're not old now by any means, but you'd actually have a bit of crack after matches back then. You can't even go for a bag of chips though, and someone will have it up on Instagram or something. But I loved it, Jackie. It was great to be involved in them. Like, all the All-Irelands I played in were all against Kilkenny, and we knew nothing else. We knew the road up was no different, the colour in the stands and everything was no different. But I loved it all. I loved the crack getting fitted for the suits, the bit of slagging to be going on about maybe the lads who weren't faring out as well on the DEXA scans about the size of the waist compared to the more fit lads, and the way the tickets would be. And like, our house was just absolute mayhem here around the times of the finals. My father would have been chairman of the club at the time for a few of the years. And like, so everybody would have nearly called here for their tickets, like, or they would have called down. Sure, and everyone is calling down with the best intentions, trying to wish you well. But sure, maybe after the 30th or 40th person comes saying the same thing about or how to go about it or how you should do it, you know, you nearly just lock yourself in it, go to a different path. But you have to embrace it. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great crack. And you know, even maybe the couple of weeks before the match, you know, even having the open nights with the kids, and just, I suppose, as principal of a primary school, I see what it means to kids. And I have kids, like, having kids myself now, and what it'll mean to them. You know, obviously the next 2 weeks, realistically, very hard for a team to have an open night now, I suppose, Jackie. Just it's the time is confined, but even knowing like you want to get to see them. So look, it was always great crack. We always enjoyed the build up, and you knew when you had to be on, you were on, and that was it. And but look, it's a great time for, do you know what, Jackie? It's a great time for so many, both of them. They're so young that a lot, for the majority of them, like especially the Clare lads now, it's going to be their first time experiencing it. Like, and that's you'll never forget that. Like, you know, you'll always remember that. Special times. Any advice you could give them, you know, Jackie's better to give advice than me now for about Ireland finals, but they'll have to get the ticket sorted tonight or tomorrow. Designate someone you trust to do it, because otherwise, by the time you go collecting your expenses at the end of the year to county board, you mightn't have too much left for people that said they paid for tickets when they didn't pay for them. So that'd be one thing. And just, I'd say none of them are going to be listening to us now, but I hope they enjoy it, Jackie, because you know what? Life is short and you just don't know, are you ever going to get this chance again? Mm-hmm. With the way the King is gone, with the way the round robin is gone, it's very, very hard to even get out of your province now. So I hope they enjoy it all. And I hope they get the nice suits or the chinos, or maybe go like the Limerick lads and go whatever's most comfortable with them. Because you could see the Limerick lads last year, they did what they wanted to do themselves. It'll be interesting to see what way the Cork and Clare lads do it as regards banquets and stuff like that. But look, I think it's all positive things. While it might be headaches for one or two people, it's important that they're not headaches for players. But look, it'll be a great couple of weeks in both camps, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know Cork already have the Burlough sorted and they're already ready for banquets and all kinds of things. I'm sure Clare are the same. And that's the frantic nature that happens with the administration side of it. But from the player's point of view, Jackie, how much did you enjoy this period?
Yeah, there was a lot of kind of chaos that went with it, Jackie, that you wouldn't be used to. And Shane has touched on all the key points around that. I suppose the big thing for us was, and Brian Cody always stressed it, was tunnel vision. It was 3:30 on Sunday, whatever that day it was. Anything. And he always had to say, we won't win it between now and then, but we can lose it. And how can we lose it getting caught with tickets, messing around with suits and all that? And he just kind of had this word. I don't want to see any kind of messing around like that. And if you got a hint of anyone messing around with a swap, you know, there was a cut off. You'll get your tickets that night, and after that, I don't hear about lads coming back. And the county board would feed into him that, look, geez, Jackie Tyrrell was on looking for more tickets. He would just hate all that. He would hate all the suits, all that kind of stuff. Get him, get rid of him, throw him in the boot of the car, and you know, they'll look after themselves. It was tunnel vision, was that. And I suppose Shane was different. We had 3 weeks, so we'd always go away for a weekend. You'd have a couple of down days, you go away for a weekend, you train really hard, and you come back the following week. And then you'd roll into the final. But it was all about tunnel vision for that day. It was all about 3:30. And even like, you know, we would get used to, you go out on the pitch an awful lot more earlier because you have to meet the president on All-Ireland final day. So you have to think about all the logistics of all that, and particularly keep an eye out on all the new younger guys, giving them an arm over the shoulder. This is going to be a little different, but it's the exact same. Nothing changes. It's all about that ball being thrown in a 3:30 and being ready to be absolutely explode. But it is an enjoyable week. It is, once you don't get too caught up in the mess and all the other side shows of it. But there is an element of it that you can enjoy. You can enjoy driving around the county and, you know, having a little chat with people, seeing the colour, feeling the excitement, feeling the buzz. And you know that's kind of building up to something big. And that something big, as I say, was the 3:30 on that Sunday.
Yeah. Going to be class, lads, and absolutely cannot wait. An All-Ireland final to savour, and for all the great days that Limerick have given us over the last 5-6 years, it has been phenomenal to watch. I do think the colour in All-Ireland final day with Clare and with Cork is really going to be something else, and we'll be back on to preview that in 2 weeks' time as well. But for the moment, Jackie, Shane, thanks a million for being with two happy Cork heads this afternoon, and we'll be back with a look ahead to the All-Ireland football semi-finals on Thursday. So join us then.